This is we'll call the Rebbe Eli.
Thank you, Bishop Marina Rashita. Thank you, Warren Greenwood, for sponsoring. We say this Shia L'Inu Nishmas, Reb Mordechai Lavish Ben Yisrael, his yacht site is on the 19th of Iyar. I think, if my memory serves me correctly, today's topic was suggested by David Rabinowitz. Wasn't it you who suggested today's topic? I think it was. Never mind. It's the power of the people. Oh, was it you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to change my name.
Forgive me. Well, today's share just lasts for three words. So that's what it's going to be, and then we're ready to bench. Today's share is just do it. But since you're going to ask for your money back, if I stop it now, I'll have to do a bit of amplification. Well, I really mean that. Just do it. If you're in doubt, then you still do it. If something needs doing on Shabbos where there's an emergency, or there's a topic where there's a doubt about an emergency, just get on with it as though it were a weekday. Certainly there are various parameters. If one can minimize the amount of malacha being done, we may discuss if it can be done with somebody who's not Jewish just as quickly and efficiently. And there are other things like if one might do something with a shinoid to do it a different way to the normal way, provided that there's no delay. But let's start off with the basics. Gemara Yuma Daf Pehei. There on Amud Aleph it says, talks about Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elozar ben Azariah. How do we know that emergencies to life, pikuach nefesh, dochef haShabbos, override Shabbos laws? And there are different answers given in the Gemara. There's one which refers to the Pasuk in Kisisa, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ach es Shabbosai Tishmeru. Ach is a miut. Ach is excluding something. So the Mechilta says that sometimes you do have to keep Shabbos, and there are other times when you have to break Shabbos. So you've got the word ach to exclude Shmir Shabbos. Another verse is given in the Gemara, Ki Kodesh Ilochem, also from Kisisa, Pasuk Yudalud. Shabbos is in your hands, and you're not in Shabbos' hands. So you are in control. It's Kodesh Ilochem to you. So that if there are good reasons, such as an emergency, then Shabbos will be overridden. There's a famous pasuk, V'shomer b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos, la'asos es haShabbos. So la'asos es haShabbos, there in pasuk Tetzayin, kidei shi'ishmer Shabbos es harbeh. You break one Shabbos in order that you can keep many more, because by staying alive you'll be able to keep future Shabboses. Aye, so you might say to me, what about prolonging somebody's life who might only last for 2 or 3 days? That still applies. You still have to break Shabbos. Even if you're going to prolong life by just a few minutes. If you know that that will help save a person's life, you do it. It's nothing really to do with keeping future Shabbosos. So the way the Gemara there speaks is an example, but even if it's just 5 seconds. One paper I saw says that the idea of delaying any death can be just because of the union of teshuvah, that we give a few seconds extra, that gives a person a chance to repent. But even without that, the idea of saving life comes perhaps in the next pasuk, which is the climax one, and that is v'chai bohem. We learnt a week ago in Parshas Achrimos, and there is the pasuk which we read, Shemata Metzukosai Vismishpotai, and it's not talking about Shabbos, but generally to keep the commandment, Asher Oseh Adom V'chai Bohem Ani Hashem. V'chai Bohem V'lo Sheyomus Bohem. And the Tzvimo quotes the Gemara Minayin Pekuach Nefesh Adokah for Shabbos, and he quotes this pasuk, Sheyomus Bohem, a person should die, and that Shabbos is to portray the idea of the Torah, which is Mizas Rachamim and Chesed and positivity, that it's full of life, and not that it's something which would be to do with death. So the idea of breaking Shabbos is not a heter, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to break Shabbos to do when it has to be done. And there are, in fact, a few examples when one breaks Shabbos, not only for saving life. I count 7 examples, actually, when one might break Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh is the most famous one. And that includes anything to do with childbirth, even though nowadays, Baruch Hashem, it's normally a safe and straightforward procedure, but we treat a woman who is giving birth as somebody in the category of Pikuach Nefesh, where Shabbos is broken not just for the actual labor and delivery, but also for 3 days afterwards, even if she doesn't ask for it, and a further 4 days after that if she does ask for it. So that's for a whole week. So that is one example when one breaks Shabbos. Another example when one breaks Shabbos is Hatzala Ruchnis, to save a person from apostasy, from leaving Judaism. If, for example, the only way of getting Jews out of a country which is extremely hostile to Jews is on a Shabbos, and there's the threat they will be abandoning their Yiddishkeit. There have been times when rabbis said in the past to get Russian Jews out of Russia that they allowed planes to go in and take them out on Shabbos. Bris Milah on the 8th day, one can break Shabbos. But not if it's postponed to another day, then one will not fix it on Shabbos. The Torah commands us to conquer the land of Israel, Kibush Eretz Yisrael. If it's ordered by Sanhedrin, then that means you even are prepared to break Shabbos in order to conquer the land. Even if there is no danger to life, to conquer the land of Israel is a mitzvah which involves breaking Shabbos. Another example is Kiddush HaChodesh, where Edim, when we go by the sighting of the new moon, the witnesses who see the new moon would go to the Beis Din, even on Shabbos, breaking Shabbos, in order to report the sighting of the new moon. And then, of course, is V'yam HaShabbos Shneich Vassim B'nei Shonot Mimim, Kavanos of Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdosh, you're doing Malacha. And a further example is Kavan HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan. So, Pikuach Nefesh is the most famous one. If the 16th of Nisan falls on Shabbos, then we bring the Kavan
HaOmer. In our current calendar, it doesn't.
In our current calendar, okay. Thank you. But as we were saying before, when we go by the sighting of the new moon. So those are the examples. Now we've got a very... Yes.
The Shulchan is maybe come as one of the others, but I think the Shulchan says if people just come to steal grass from your town in Israel, you can break Shabbos to stop them, because otherwise they get encouraged, they can do more.
Right.
Maybe part of it, be sure.
Yeah, I learnt in a yeshiva called Shalvim, and the Rosh Yeshiva at that time was Rav Meir Schlesinger, and he became well known because the yeshiva was on the original border on the Green Line, and the boys of the yeshiva used to do Shemirah before there was such a thing as Hezbollah. And it once happened that Arabs were driving their tractors towards the no man's land, which was dividing Israel from Jordan, and he told the kibbutzniks to get on their tractors and to start driving them. Because in those days it wasn't just a white line which determined a boundary, it was the land that you were using. And he perceived a threat just from that. So he told the kibbutzniks to get on their tractors and to start driving them on Shabbos. And they refused. They said, no, we're not going to, it's Shabbat today. So he got on the tractor and started driving. And then they followed him. And it chased the Arabs away. So it was determined that that was the right thing to do, because it was like a pikuach nefesh. The question we're going to ask then on this Gemara is, why did the Gemara have to give us all this drasha about how do we know that Shabbos is postponed for pikuach nefesh? Do we not already know that there are only 3 cardinal sins for which one is prepared to give up one's life, namely Gilaroth, Shrikas Sabim, and Avodah Zarah? So that's immorality, adultery, incest, Shrikas Sabim is murder, and Avodah Zarah is idolatry. For those things one is prepared to give up one's life, but it doesn't list Shabbos in that list. So why should there be any question in the Gemara, how do we know that the Pikuach Nefesh is postponing Shabbos? We should know this already from that rule. A very stark akasha. So the Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, which is the Maran ben Chaviv on the Sechta Yoma, writes, he says, of course the Gemara already knew that you can break Shabbos, but that's when there's a Vadai Bikuach Nefesh. But what if you're in a Sofek, if you're in doubt? Maybe the Gemara didn't feel so certain. And therefore, when it comes to Sofek, That is his answer, but it's a difficult answer to understand. First of all, the Gemara doesn't ask the question Sofek Minor on how do we know that you do with a Sofek, which it would surely do if it's talking about Sofek. Secondly, Sofek Daraisa and Chumra, when it comes to matters Min HaTorah or relating to life, you'll obviously go on the strict side, you're going to be on the cautious side. So there's a problem with this Perush. So the Sifas Eliezer comes along and he says, that's Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, and he says, there is a principle. Numa l'chalal Shabbos is numa l'chalal Torah kula. Somebody who defies Shabbos willingly is called a mumar. And somebody who breaks Shabbos willingly is regarded as though he's breaking the whole of Shabbos. And there is also a chazal that one who breaks Shabbos, it is as if he breaks all the Torah. In fact, the Chofetz Chaim uses a parable about the shopkeeper. When a shop closes up, then when you come to the shop, you realize it's closed, so you come back another day because you assume that it will reopen on another day. But if you come to a shop and the shop sign has been removed, then you will know that the shop has closed down and that you will not bother coming back again. He says Shabbos is like the shop sign. If a person takes down the shop sign, then you give up completely. If a person is breaking Shabbos, then that is something which is detrimental. And there is less hope of a person coming back. So Shabbos is compared to Avodah Zorah, because Hamuma L'Avodah Zorah is Muma L'Kolah Torah Kula. Somebody who is in idolatry, it's as if they're breaking the whole Torah. And therefore a person who is Muma Shabbos is compared to somebody who is worshipping Avodah Zorah, says Rav Waldenberg. Therefore we give Shabbos more importance in stating the difficulty in breaking Shabbos, and nevertheless the importance of breaking Shabbos if one's life is in danger. And therefore that is why the Gemara comes along and asks, why are we allowed to break Shabbos? Because we've got these various pasukim. Certainly the whole idea of breaking Shabbos is quite severe. You can't even break Shabbos to build the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Chasam Sofer writes there in Acharimos that to say that one life, Shabbos is overruled, but we do not break Shabbos in order to build the Beit HaMikdosh, you can see therefore that saving a human life is more important than the actual temple itself in Jerusalem. But coming back to our question of why did the Gemara bring all these pasukim, I think there is another answer you can say, and that is this. People, Baruch Hashem, have an instinct that they don't want to break Shabbos. There is some dinim in Yiddishkeit which becomes so ingrained within us that it becomes abhorrent for us to break those rules. One example like that is eating chazah. Nobody wants to eat chazah treif. It is repugnant to us. And the Musa Sfarim actually say that we should try and treat all averus until they are instinctively repugnant to us, such as lashon hara or something like that. Unfortunately, some of our sins are not instinctive, and we might fall into them rather easily. Lashon hara, simas chinom, and those should be instinctive as well. Chazer treif is instinctive. It's repugnant to us to want to come near the stuff. And Baruch Hashem, it is our instinct not wanting to break Shabbos. I don't want to criticize my own daughter, but when she was starting labor pains and it was already twilight towards the end of Shabbos, she thought maybe she can hold out till Shabbos is finished and then go to the hospital. With greatest of respect to her, and I'm obviously biased in saying I admire her, that's not the way forward. If you are in labor pains, not you personally, but if your daughters or your wives are in labor pains, then you just drop everything and go. And as it happened, my daughter gave birth to one of her children in my wife's car on the way to the hospital. You know, it's not worth delaying things.
How far does this go? I mean, who can accompany such a person's life? That person obviously has to go to hospital.
Anybody can accompany a woman to go to hospital.
You can have four or five people.
Well, we're going to deal afterwards with mental anguish, but...
No, I'm saying, you said your daughter, you could take your wife. You know, how many people could go with your daughter?
Well,
a husband
should certainly go. And if she feels comforted that her mother comes with, then you've got the minicab outside and the mother goes with as well. We're going to deal later with psychological issues.
I don't know. Maybe you want to enjoy the trip. I don't
we're going to deal later with psychological issues, but as it happened, she gave birth in my wife's car. Fortunately, they were leather seats. Problem was, when it came to registering the child and my son-in-law was asked, where was the baby born? He said, at the 113 bus stop on Hendon Way. And they didn't want to write that on the birth certificate, so they wrote on the birth certificate, on transit to Royal Free Hospital. Says the Gemara in Yuma Pei Dalud, and you don't break Shabbos simply by engaging non-Jewish people, Gentiles, but when Shabbos has to be broken, it's the leading rabbis who should be doing it, to set the example to everybody that it is for the Gedolei Yisrael who should be doing this sort of thing. And You don't look for a non-Jewish person to do it for you if there will be any delay. I was once davening in the Hashkama Minyan, the Hendon Hadass, some years ago, and two rows in front, an elderly man collapsed, just dropped on the floor. And unfortunately, people don't really know what to do in these situations. They start gathering around him and lifting him up. And I just went outside straight away, went to the phone, and called an ambulance. And somebody else was asking a rabbi there, what should we do? And he was deliberating and not sure. And I noticed somebody gone upstairs and knocking hard on the caretaker's door to try and get him to phone. Anyway, the ambulance arrived, and Baruch Hashem, he was okay. But one doesn't hesitate. One doesn't rely, if you need a non-Jewish person to switch on the heating in cold weather, that's fine. But when there's danger to life, you don't hesitate. And there is, in fact, an argument between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah whether you should prefer to have a non-Jew or not, when it will be just as quick and expeditious.
It's an interesting, in some places the Hatzolah use non-Jewish drivers on Shabbos.
Yes.
And other Hatzolahs just use the Jewish drivers.
Yeah. Right, well this is in fact...
There will be much more...
I think they use non-Jewish with it, to come back.
Some of them have got no, most of the country.
Right, well Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinkov Ches in Sifyud Beis talks about using Gedolei Yisrael, the Jewish people who should be doing these malachos. Don't rely on non-Jewish people. And the Ramah says, V'yesh Omrim, and some say, V'im Efshar Lasas El Al Yedei Eino Yehudi, or do a Shinoi, and the Chaynagin, if it's just as quick, then it's better to use somebody who's not Jewish. And this is an argument, really, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Do you drive your wife yourself to the hospital, or do you get a taxi? And the Taz argues on the Ramah, and the Taz says, you should have a Jew do it. By having a non-Jew, it's a michshel, because people will think that you have to have a non-Jew doing it. And next time the issue comes around and the rabbi is not there, people will think you have to have a non-Jew. So at least you should publicize the fact that we only use a Gentile because he's quick. But even if you're in a doubt, if there's a suffix, whether you need to go to hospital or not, you still use a Jew. And the view of the Taz is followed by the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, but the Chazon Ish does lean towards the Ramah's view of if you can get a non-Jew who's just as quick, then you do so. So the Mishnah Berurah writes a very important thing on the general idea of people who are hesitating. Because it says, Hazor is Harizeh Meshubach. The Yerushalmi says, somebody who's eager to break Shabbos for this reason is highly praised. Va'anishal Harizeh Megunah. Somebody who is asked is Megunah. It's a shameful thing. Which is a very strange thing to say. Somebody who's asked, if the rabbi's asked, what's wrong in asking the rabbi? And can you blame the rabbi for being asked? He's just standing there and he's being asked, but it's called Harizeh Megunah. And the person who asks is like spilling blood. So the Shulchan Aruch misses out this phrase, Anishal Harizeh Megunah. And the Torah says the reason is because this is the first thing the Rav Shadarshan, Truma Fadeshan says, the very first thing that people should be told when a rabbi starts his tenure as being employed by the synagogue, one of the first things he should tell everybody is to break Shabbos when there's life in danger. And that he should have told you before, so that if the rabbi is going to be asked, Manishal Harizeh Megunah, why is it Megunah and shameful? Because it, such a thing should have never happened in the first place. Because he should have been telling everybody beforehand, so therefore there was no need for him to be asked. And a person shouldn't be makvik to be asked. One should be able to ask anybody, says the Prusha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Vashoel, how is there shevichtamim? A person who's asking. So can you imagine the scenario? There's a fire in the yeshiva building. What does the yeshiva bacha do? He takes the Mishnah Berurah off the shelf and looks up to see what he should do. Is he allowed to do this? Is he allowed to do that? This is, how is there shevichtamim? You are spilling blood when you do this. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Chav Ches, Sifkot and Rov, Perish, also ishu mischaseid. He thinks he's mischaseid, like chasidish. The yoy lechalal Shabbos. He's afraid to break Shabbos. Becholik azekim halidei mora. He wants to ask somebody first. How you shofech domin? He's like a murderer. Shabbosu holech lishal. Because during that time that he's asking, yechalash hachole yoser. The sick person might become even more sick. The ochel is stacking. It will become more dangerous. The Pasuk says you may not stand by the blood of your neighbor. Mishami Isa Hanisha Harizo Maguna, he quotes this. Yerushalmi, Mishum Shatam Chokhamim Koma Hoyolo Lidrosh Pirko. It's for every rabbi to darshan to the killer that they have to break Shabbos. With Kel Kadeshi Yogi Kolom that they will know, but no Starchun Shalom, you should never need to ask. And if the sick person himself is worried that Shabbos will be broken for him, so we force him, and we persuade him, this is a piety of foolishness. So you can't get it much stronger than that. So how is that? The Shubach, a person who's eager, and that really sums up the whole issue, but we will deal with some other aspects of Hilchas Shabbos, where there's Pekuach Nefesh, on certain ideas which are not so well known, what we might call mythbusters. What if it's one limb, your arm, swollen, infected, something with your eyes? You might think, well, it's not really a danger to life. And the Rambam actually omits this phrase, Eiver Echod, which comes from the sources. Since Eliezer says that the Rambam omits this because every generation might be different, and it's recognized by doctors nowadays that every limb, even one's toe, if infected, can cause danger to life, can lead to blood poisoning, and so on and so forth. And therefore, one does not take chances. And the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Chelek Aleph, Kuf Chaf Tes, that even if you've just got a high fever coming to 102 Fahrenheit, that equates to 38.88 centigrade, that is already a sophic pikuach nefesh on which one will do melacha. And even if it's less than that temperature, if there's an internal organ involved, like internal bleeding or kidney infection, and a child even over 100 Fahrenheit, or even lower than that, if there's a respiratory infection or infection of internal organ, if there's a suffix, you go leniently. And when the Tzitz Eliezer told doctors about this, the doctors were surprised, because even if there's no fever at all, even if there's no temperature, says Shmir Shabbos Kil Chosar Rav Noivi in chapter 32, paragraph 11, that there are some ailments which require action immediately. So some of his examples we'll just read very quickly because we're not going to be comprehensive today. We've spoken about a high temperature, a wound inside the body, even inside the gums or teeth, internal hemorrhage, strong internal pain, even if there's no blood oozing, if there's a suspected compound fracture or fracture of a long bone or fractured skull, fractured spine, or in the trunk of the body, in the case of an injury on the back of the hand or on the instep where damage to blood vessels is feared, a deep cut or wound, a heavy blow from a metal object, a cut caused by something which is dirty, which can be highly infectious, like from earth, a swollen infected wound, inflammation of lymphatic glands behind the ear, suspicion of blood poisoning, a thorn or splinter penetrated beneath a fingernail, heat stroke, sunstroke, extensive burns, where a person who is sensitive to waspy or other insect stings, a bite from a rabid dog, a snake, scorpion, horse, donkey, poison, kerosene, detergent, fruit coated with insecticide, that might be quite wise, rat poison, a needle or other object. Those are just some of the examples he lists.
I'll tell you a story about...
Yes?
We were learning the halachas here at Shabbos morning here. And we learned about if you get a splinter under the nail, and everyone said, ah, that can't be a pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. That week there was a story in the Daily Telegraph of somebody got a thorn or something under the nail and they died from blood poisoning.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't attend to it. So
that you got me worried because I've got a swollen finger.
It's not Shabbos, you need to worry. People say a splinter is not pikuach nefesh. It could be.
Okay. Right. Well, there's a story told about Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik when he was a young boy. He was the grandson of the famous Rav Chaim Brisk, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he was ill, and it was on a Shabbos, and a doctor came to see him, and Rav Chaim, his grandfather, was there. And Rav Chaim asked the doctor if an electric light would assist him, and the doctor said, that wouldn't be a bad idea. And Rav Moshe told his... Rav Chaim told his son Rav Moshe, switch on the light, and his son Rav Moshe hesitated. He wondered whether it was really necessary, and he called his son an abikoros. And when Rav Chaim was asked how he could be so lenient when it came to Shabbos, he says, I'm not lenient. He says, I'm machmir. I'm going strict for pikuach nefesh. And there was a similar story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta in the 1830s on Yom Kippur, when there was a cholera epidemic going on, and he stood up on the bima in front of the whole congregation and he started eating on Yom Kippur because they didn't want to eat. And he was asked, how can you be so lenient? He said, I'm not being lenient, I'm being machmir, I'm being strict in order to keep to the rules of pikuach nefesh. And talking about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he demonstrated also on Hatzalah Ruchnis to save somebody from apostasy. He's quoted by Rav Sternberg in Shulchan Aruch Hagos, Chelek Dalad, Lamed Ches. He violated Shabbos himself to save boys from the Russian army, who were compelling them to abandon Judaism. My own grandfather, my father's father, came to England at the age of 15, just in order to avoid the Russian army, from which so many never returned. They put the Jewish boys, Dafka, on the front line, and it was impossible for them to keep Yiddishkeit. And so at the tender age of 15, my father came to the East End. He boarded with a from family and so on. But that is what happened in the early 1880s. Now, we briefly mentioned before the idea of mental anguish. And that was the idea of accompanying a woman in an ambulance when she's about to give birth. Accompanying anybody in an ambulance. Well, you might say you're not really doing a melacha. But even if it means doing a melacha, if that person will suffer psychological harm, then we determine, then for that one breaks Shabbos as well. And you might think, well, you know, is it really a harm to life if a person gets a bit depressed because they're all on their own? Psychological harm is an issue. And the halacha which we learn now is from the Gemara Shabbos Kufchav Ches on the base, which is brought down to halacha. If a woman who's giving birth is blind and she asks that candles be lit, Shabbos candles be lit, she can't even see these candles being lit, she can't see the candle lights, but you still light them on Shabbos and you tell her that they've been lit, because that gives her psychological calm. It stops any mental anguish. And therefore the Arizura writes, the Mordechai writes, Kosher Mishpot in Reish Nun Dalad, that if a person is very ill and they ask for somebody to visit them, especially if they're relatives to visit them, they say that you can ask a non-Jew to bring them. Well, you can say Amir al-Akum is a dinder abonon, but there are poskim who say even an Issadar Raisa, if a request is made by somebody who's seriously ill, that they want to speak to their close relatives, they feel that they're dying and they want to give last wishes, or if it can just simply be where they feel seriously ill and it will give them mental calm if somebody's there, then there are poskim who even say that one can perform a melacha d'araisa. So says the Ravush, v'have b'chlal pikuach nefesh, Ravush Achor in chapter 306. The Prima Godin writes something similar in the Eshel Avram, that all Torah violations can be done on Shabbos to save mental anguish for somebody who's seriously ill. Kal v'chomer any rabbinic prohibitions. And the Maharsham writes this in Chelek Dalad, Nun Dalad, Rav Shalom Mordechai Shradron. There's an interesting Rashba in the Tshuvas Chelek Dalad in chapter 245, where if this sick person who's dangerously ill asks for an amulet to be written which you might say is some superstitious thing, and to put it around their neck when a woman is in labor or a person is dangerously sick, if it calms their mental state, then you will be able to break Shabbos for them. So Rav Yisrael Hapanas in a modern sefer called Nishmat Shabbos in Chelek Hey, in section 230, he writes, even a Malachat HaRaisa to visit, unless, he says, if Hatzalah have gone with, then you can rely on them to be with the person until you come later with an Issur Rabbonon. But if a person genuinely feels he needs family there, even an Issur Min HaTorah. And Rav Aryeh Broza wrote in the 19th century, in this way, Aryeh, even without relatives, if somebody else who is not a relative improves the state of mind of that patient, then one goes along. And Rabbi Akiva says in the Gemara and the Zohar, that men, whoever does not visit a sick person is like shofech domim, is like shedding blood. Rav Ozna in his Sheva Halevi, Chelet Ches, he says, I'm not inclined to permit prohibitions for any sick person who doesn't want to be alone. He felt that this could be a bit of a slippery slope where people would take it as a license for anybody to visit. But unless he felt it was life-saving and the person was dangerously ill, but certainly to override a Din Darabbanan, like to have somebody driving you, that, he says, is permissible. Before there was a brief discussion, before we started, about saving Gentile life. Apparently, some police officer waged a bet that a fellow would not come out for a non-Jewish patient, and he lost his bet. Hatzalah came out when they were called, and the halacha, as agreed by Poskim nowadays, led by the Igros Moshe and Moshe Feinstein, is that one breaks Shabbos for anyone who is dangerously ill, whether it's somebody who is Jewish or somebody who is not Jewish. Either one. The other ideas, in fact, Rav Moshe scorns on those who prevent Chilul Shabbos. Those who think that they don't break Shabbos if someone is not Jewish, he writes in his Igros Moshe Chelek Beis Siman Ayin Tes, Upele, he says, I'm amazed at those who think that you don't break Shabbos to save non-Jewish life. The Mechalei Shabbos Gemurim Hayim Bemezid, they think that they are Mechalei Shabbos. Can you imagine what the consequences would be if we start ignoring non-Jewish people? What effect that will have? Can you imagine how it will get into the national press, international press? And can you imagine how the non-Jewish doctors will behave towards our Jewish patients if we have such attitudes? He says there's no question about the fact that we have to save non-Jewish life as well as Jewish life. So it's an interesting comfort that Hatzalah are told to answer all calls irrespective of who they are. And that is the Rebbe Chasam Soloveitchik, Choshimishmak Kutsari Dala, the Tzitzit Eliezer, Chelek Chesiv Tesvov, the Minchas Yitzchak says this, the Chalkos Yaakov writes this, and Rabbi Rabbi Yosef writes a very long piece about it in Sefer Halacha Tzur, and also in the Yabia Omer, Chelek Ches, Simon Namad Ches. The question is, of course, if you attend to a non-Jewish patient and you're a doctor, may you charge money for it? You're not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. So really, what you do on Shabbos, you can say, well, if you're employed the whole week, you're being paid for your job or what's during the week. But if you're a freelance doctor and you save a non-Jewish life, there are some who have the view that you cannot bill for it afterwards. Although Rav Yitzchak Zalman Meltzer and Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector wrote that you can allow a Jewish doctor to send a bill afterwards, after Shabbos, but not to say anything about money on Shabbos itself. And this is brought so in the Sefer Refuah Shabbos Lamed Gimel. So, you know, okay, there have been expenses maybe in going out and covering yourself. Another strange thing which people think you don't break Shabbos for is if you see a house on fire. You might think, oh, well, nobody's life is really in danger, so I'll just let the house burn down. There are obviously different views about this as to how far one goes. Certainly, Amir al-Akram, you can ask him to do anything. But the Trumas HaDeshan writes, interestingly, in Simon Nun Ches, his manah there nowadays, afilu bar iske momon. On monetary matters where you see a house burning down, mechalelin aleihem, you break Shabbos. To put out a fire for Shabbos, and can you imagine, it's just not a savory thing. We're living amongst non-Jewish people, and we have to take into account that there may be somebody in danger, and you're in a sofek, and you never know when you see a house on fire. It can spread, I've seen fire spreading easily just by way of a garden fence, and you think, oh well, what's a garden fence? But it's something where you have to call the fire brigade, because then it'll get onto a house, and the next house somebody might be sleeping. You don't know, you're in sofek, and therefore Shabbos has to be broken, and that's very clear cut from the Truma Sadeshin. And the Oroz Zeruah, he quotes, "Vafinu b'sofek sakono." Gedolei Yisrael.
Yes. If he's here, would have told you the story of a family here in Holdsville Crescent, whose children got hold of matches on Shabbos and set the settee alight. And they said, what should we do? And he said, pour some water on it straight away. Mm. Yeah, because they didn't know. The whole house would have gone up within a few seconds.
Yeah. And it's not just the fire which can kill, it's the smoke which can kill, and it can spread. We can't take chances. So he says,
Jewish area also, you'd have to break Shabbos.
Yes, definitely. There's none of that.
The neighbor's non-Jewish house.
Yes. Even if it's a neighbor's non-Jewish house. And I feel it was something that kind of gedolei Yisrael, mechabim mechad leikah, says the Oroz Zeruah. It's the leaders of the generation. It's the rabbis who should be doing it.
You can only do it via drama. I mean, obviously, there's nobody there.
That's what people think. Pour water around and then the house has gone up in fire.
If there's nobody's life in danger.
If there's no life in danger, and you are sure that the fire will not spread by grama, by putting water around it, or some other way that it can be done, fine. But you don't take chances, that's the point. And if there's the slightest doubt that it might affect somebody's life, Jewish or non-Jewish, you break Shabbos. But it does say in Hilchos Shabbos that Goram Kivoy, to save lost, where you are 100% sure that there's no life in danger, then you can put water around the fire to stop it from spreading. It doesn't spread. And we learn out from that the din of Goma generally.
Can I ask a question? In certain cases where it's okay or indeed mandatory to travel to hospital, either the patient or somebody accompanying him, what's the position about coming back?
Right, the general attitude, especially with Hatzolah, is Hatzolah is there for a purpose of saving lives. They're on duty, and the post can tell them to come back.
Yeah, but if it's you as a private person.
If it's you as a private person and you're 100% sure that there's no problem, then you don't need to come back. Although you might have problems if you brought your own car and you can't park it in the hospital, but that's not a pikuach nefesh matter.
I mean, can you travel back? Is what I mean.
There is no reason why you should have to travel back. No. If you're not a Hatzolonik,
right.
Hatzolonics are there to be on duty, and there may be further calls afterwards.
Yeah, but you might want, let's say it's a 2 or 3 day yom tov, and you go on the first day, you know, one's staying in the hospital for 3 days, so you need to get
home. Well, there are those who will say, that it is putting you in an extremely uncomfortable position, and you can ask a minicab driver to take you home.
I can't send a cab for me to take me home, because I was discharged, the hospital didn't want me
in. Yes, same idea. If you're discharged, although even if you're discharged, you might still be in a state of unwellness. And then a minicab can come and collect you, and they bring you home, and you can show them where the money is on the mantelpiece.
I think your father has an account.
They're very efficient.
I'm pretty sure that when my father was in, they wanted to release him, I think, on the Yom Tov. And I asked Rabbi Cooper, I think he said he can't come back.
Well, I don't know what all the circumstances are of the case, but the general attitude is that when a person is discharged, that even if their life is not in danger, they are not called chole sheyesh bo sakono, they're still called chole she'ein bo sakono. Because when they're discharged, they'll want to recuperate, they have to rest at home, and they're confined to their house. That's called a chole she'ein bo sakono. A chole she'ein bo sakono, you can do all isuri d'rabbanon. You can instruct the non-Jew to do things for you, and Shabbos is set aside. And of course there's the question of doing a malacha with a shinoi, and that something which is temporary with writing, and all these other comes into it. We can't really go into that now, but even if a person is a chola she'ein bo sakana, there are numerous things one can do on Shabbos in order to make life a bit better for them, that they don't have that extreme discomfort. And it is an extreme discomfort when you're discharged and you're in the middle of Shabbos. Certainly you can ask the hospital staff if you can stay till Shabbos is over, but if it's a 3-day yontif and they need the bed, it doesn't work that way in the real practice. And you have to get out, and then you can have a driver taking you, and you're not doing any malacha, get them to open the door for you of the car, etc., etc.
Yeah, but the person who accompanied them needs to get back. He presumably will have to walk.
Yes,
I suppose.
Yes, the person who's accompanied them hasn't really got an emergency and can walk or go to a hotel or something like that. So there are parameters, obviously, and today is not a day where we can go through all those ins and outs, and we would want to talk about general principles, but particularly about those issues where people have misconceptions, where they feel they have to be strict, but really one should not be so strict. And there's another example on that, and these dental emergencies. Some people think that if there's a very severe toothache that their life isn't in danger. Well, maybe their life is not in danger, but there could be an internal wound. And as I said, you do what we do during the week. Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chaf Dalet, Sif Dalet. And the Shavar Ofa in chapter 3, 63, says, you know, if you think, oh well, one tooth is not really a problem, I've got a lot of set of teeth. The fact is, he says, no one tooth was created for nothing, and it's part of a combination of others, and if there is a wound behind the tooth, it could lead to a severe dental infection. I once had a dental infection, and I had to take 3 sets of antibiotics till it cleared up. It was following a tooth extraction for a dental implant. You can't take chances, and for such a thing, the Rabbonim will all agree that Shabbos can be broken. But if there is no real danger to life, but you are in heavy pain from a tooth, and Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tendler writes about this, he's a son-in-law of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and with Dr. Fred Rosner, they write that if there is a very heavy pain, and there's no danger to life, but the pain is really extraordinary, they say what you can do is the dentist, who even is a Jewish dentist, can do what is necessary if two of you do together what has to be done. Like, if the drill has to be switched on, if the two of you do it together, if two people perform a malacha, then that is not really each person doing the malacha. And then, if two people start the drill, and then the dentist can carry on his own using the drill, nevertheless, if the two people combined have been doing this, then it becomes a rabbinical law, not a biblical law, in order to relieve a person from extreme dental pain. So it's not, as I said, it's not easy to go into all examples, but if anyone wants more examples, there is discussion on this, a book written by somebody in my family, which if you're interested, I can give you one of these afterwards. Which deals with all the kinds of issues with Hebrew references as well, and it's really a myth-busting exercise, because there are so many people who are scared to break Shabbos, thinking it's a terrible thing. Well, it is a terrible thing to break Shabbos, but when life is danger or even sofek pikuach nefesh, one breaks Shabbos. And perhaps I'll just end off with an idea I once heard from a Rav. He said, when people become elderly, he said, their Yetzer Hara becomes different. When we're young, the Yetzer Hara tells you maybe to steal, to talk Lashon Hara, or to engage in immoral activities, where a person is able to do those things. But when a person becomes frail and elderly, they're not going to go around robbing banks, and they might be less talkative to Lashon Hara, and they're certainly not likely to deal in immoral activities. So what does the HR tell such a person to do? A person who is frail and elderly and sick in bed, what Aveira does this, the HR tell that person to do? On Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, the HR tells the person, kill yourself. Go on. And that is the reason why people are reluctant to eat on Yom Kippur or to break Shabbos, because the Yetzer Hara is giving them that challenge. And one has to recognize that that is the challenge. And one has to recognize, and that is why the Torah goes out of its way, even though we don't really need all these pasukim, such as the V'chai Bohem, because we should know it from the rule of the three cardinals that Shabbos is not one of them and Yom Kippur is not one of them. Nevertheless, the Torah goes out of its way, and the Gemara goes out of its way to say, "V'chai b'hem v'lo sheyomos b'hem," that we should all be zoche to arichas yomim in order to serve Hashem properly, and we should not have to need these emergency services. But fortunately, we should be glad that they exist. Thank you very much.